Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on Radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
It's Ola Tsar standing by. We'll take caller 9 at 844-999. Ola, and you'll play profile this in minutes. But first, Bob, and have we made it to drink it time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and see with Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast Father Paolo Longo of San Benedetto de Paola, Italy. I'm sure I screwed up all that. Bear with me. Father Paolo is, well, either my father or a priest. In this case, it is a priest who presides over the Church of San Pietro. And with the COVID-19 ravaging Italy, well, holding actual mass, too irresponsible, too dangerous. So, like a lot of his counterparts, Father Paolo decided to live stream a service using Facebook Live. And it's actually pretty cool how many different people are starting to utilize things like, what, Facebook Live, Skype, FaceTime, to either stay in touch or spread their word. And not just priests and preachers, but, hell, musicians, teachers, family, friends, on and on it goes. But Father Paolo has his finger on the technological pulse. Almost. You see, the good father, he left the AR filters active during his sermon, so as he performed a service for the hundreds of people that would normally attend, his virtual parishioners saw him with animated accessories, like, keep in mind, you're preaching the word of God, and at one point, he's wearing a sci-fi helmet, but at some point, that does go away. He continues to preach the word of the Lord above, even though he's wearing cartoon sunglasses and a cartoon hat, but he doesn't know, so he's still being serious as the sermon continues. One point they realize he is preaching the word, but now he's gesticulating to make his point, and that's when it appeared that he was lifting dumbbells. So went on for about an hour. He had no idea. The parishioners obviously let him know at the end of the service. To his credit, he's like, hey man, even laughter.
It's probably one of the best sermons he's ever done.
It was probably one of the more intriguing ones. It was probably one of the easier ones to get the kids to sit there and listen to because he doesn't know. So he, you know, and I'm sure he addresses what's going on. First of all, it's a Catholic church in Italy. I don't know if you've been to Italy. Pretty Catholic place. What's going on in Italy with COVID? He's doing a service with
pretty,
no one.
Pretty serious situation.
Right. So he's being serious and he's, you know, he's trying to bring comfort to people, but there's just something about the idea of trying to bring comfort, you know, to a very religious country. And here
I think
you are.
I think mission accomplished.
Respected priest. And you're lifting up dumbbells with cartoon sunglasses on as you go through the stuff. But yeah, credit to him, man. He was cool with that. He's like, well, you know, if people laugh, that's good. Laughter's a good thing. So credit to Father Paolo Longo.
Yeah, New Testament normally isn't thought of as a comedy.
It's really not. But so, there's, I don't care what he's talking about. Knowing that he didn't know what was going on, there's no way you couldn't laugh. It wouldn't matter what he's telling you. But we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola!
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
Hey, Stephen Throwhill, can you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
You bet your ass I can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hello, thank you.
Hola, you're welcome.
Mary, how you doing? How you doing during the self-quarantine there, Mary?
Well, I came to visit my mom for a weekend, and I've been here 3 weeks.
Oh, God. Where did you visit from?
I'm just from Snohomish to Everett, but she's 80, and I like hanging out with her when I can, and...
So you came for the weekend, and now you're 3 weeks later, you're still there. Is she doing okay health-wise?
She's doing awesome. She actually works.
Is she happy that you're there? Because, look, I love my kids, but once they move out, 3 weeks, I'd be like, come on,
where man. Where is she working?
She works at Fred Meyer. She's a baker. And, yeah, she's happy I'm there because, I'm an only child, so I'm the only one, and she just wants to... hang out all the time.
Oh, no problem. Are you cooking for her and everything else when she gets home from a long, hard day there that you're taking care of her?
Yeah. She likes to have dinner by noon to 1 a.m. She goes to work at 1 in the morning.
Wait. She's a baker.
She's 80 years old, and this woman still gets up to go to work at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, her birthday was March 22nd.
Oh, mine too.
Get out of here. So she works what that's called the donut shift, is what I understand,
right? The donut shift. Right.
How long has she been doing that?
36 years this year.
I'm guessing at her age she has no plans on retiring because that's her life and that's what she loves?
Yes. She said she'd probably curl up in a ball but if she didn't work. But I said, well, we'll find something for you to do. You're bossy.
Okay, well, what about when she's home? What can she bake you that you absolutely love? She's been doing it 30-some years. What's your favorite thing?
She's really good at cake because cake can be so dry and crappy, you know what I mean?
She makes a boy's cake. Okay. Now, do you feel guilty?
She freezes it right after she bakes it.
Mary, do you have any guilt knowing that your 80-year-old mother is still working an overnight shift and you're like kind of home slacking around on the couch? Does that bother you at all? Or are you okay with it?
Well, I have rheumatoid arthritis. I'm a little crippled right now.
Okay.
A little crippled. I like that. I'm just a wee bit crippled.
I like being there to do all the chores for her.
Sure. Well, no, I get it.
You know, mop her floor and sweep and blah, 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 because I'm on disability, so I don't mind whatsoever.
Can't wait for my kids to say the same thing.
I know.
One last question. Because she has the Fred Meyer connection, do you guys get, like, a toilet paper connection on this or no?
Only because she works at the time she does, because they are restocking every night. She gets off work at 6 in the morning. And they're now opening the store at 7, so there's toilet paper whenever we need it.
All right, well, then here's a good message for Fred Meyer. Their bakers have clean asses. Mm-hmm. I want you to remember that next time you go in there.
Fred Meyer's got a great bakery, man.
I can't believe I'm saying
cakes are good, all their stuff.
Well, it's true. She also
Case of Bud Light and,
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio. Sucker. Mother. And please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Okay, Mary. No brown words.
That's all right. All right, Mary, look, you understand how this year game is played, all right?
Okay.
Is that a yes or no?
Yes, thank you for forgiving me. I'm sorry.
Oh, we didn't say we forgive you. We're just getting, you've disappointed us. All right,
I'm sorry.
As always, we got a choice of 3 stories. 2 of them deal with ethnicity / race. 1 has to deal with drugs. The story is your choice. Where would you like to go? The world of racism or the world of drugs?
Oh, good Lord. I'm picking drugs.
Drugs it is, man.
I had a feeling. All right, here is your story. We go to the state of Massachusetts, where a father is being held in jail because his five-year-old son brought a bag of his drugs to the kindergarten class and then said it made him feel like Superman. There's an explanation for that. Now, the child brought the drugs to Lawrence Elementary School in Holyoke, Massachusetts, about an hour and a half away from Boston. But when the boy showed the drugs to his teacher, he said it puts it in his mouth and it makes him feel like Spider-Man. Now, the baggie was stamped with images of Spider-Man. The teacher notified the school's principal, who immediately called the police. Police and an ambulance, they brought the boy to the hospital as a precaution. Even though the drugs were sealed, authorities said they don't believe the boy ingested the drugs. Anyway, the cops also went to the boy's home, where they found his father, Benny, asleep on the sofa, with 38 bags of cocaine and 70 bags of heroin in the house. Plus, he had an outstanding warrant for narcotics. He's now facing additional charges. Police said another child, which was an infant, lived in the home with their mother, but both kids have been taken to child services. Now, their father got busted with 38 bags of coke, 70 bags of heroin. But my question for you is, which drug do you think this child brought to school? Do you believe he brought in a bag of cocaine, a bag of meth, a bag of heroin, or a bag of molly? So coke, meth, heroin, or molly, these are one of those drugs is what the kid brought to school.
It would be cocaine, I believe.
Why do you think that, Mary?
Because he said it made him feel like Superman, and all the dude had was coke and heroin.
He said Spider-Man, and how would you know such a thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wonder if there's any symbol.
I'm a child of the 70s.
I wonder if there's any symbolism to Spider-Man in, like, climbing or crawling around or feeling like, you know.
I don't know. I mean, let's say I've purchased at least two of these four drugs that have shown up in bags, and for me, there's no particular rhyme or reason about what I see on the bag. It just seems like whatever is available. Maybe they picked it up at the bead shop around Halloween.
Okay.
You know those bead shops only sell those bags to people that actually do bead work and drug dealers.
It is Massachusetts, so there is a lot of money there. Cocaine isn't out of the question.
Yeah.
Either is heroin or meth or molly. I don't know. I think I'm going to go crazy here. Mary, I think my guess is going to be molly.
Uh-oh.
Just because it's never been a choice before. For some reason, I think that might be it. You want to stick with cocaine, Mary?
Well, if I'm supposed to go with the story, I don't know, profile this, molly was never mentioned.
I thought it was
not in the story itself, but it is in fact, because his dad is dealing drugs. The drugs found in the house specifically were cocaine and heroin.
I'm Molly.
You're going to go Molly now?
Did Miles convince you? Because your cocaine answer, it seemed like you were drawing from experience. Just a guess I have.
Yes.
Okay. is Molly your final answer, Mary?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're going to find out if he had the cocaine brought to school, the meth, the heroin, or the Molly next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We head to Massachusetts on Profile This. It is Guess the Drug Time. Massachusetts father is in jail. After his son, I don't know if it's show and tell or what the deal was, but he brought a baggie of his dad's drugs to show his friends and teachers and classmates. Brought it to school. So cops went to the dad's house, and he was passed out on the couch and was arrested for possession. He had a bunch of stuff in the house as well. But the question is, what was it that the child brought to school? Was it a bag of cocaine, a bag of meth, a bag of heroin, or a bag of Molly?
And that's the question that we pose to you, Mary. Now, initially, you went with cocaine. My spidey sense, tying it back to the story, is that maybe based on some experience, you even said, look, man, the kid said he felt like a superhero. That makes sense to me. I'm right there with you. But in the end, you listen to Miles here, and Miles said, man, Molly, based on one, just the Spider-Man imagery, and let's face it. Right, you know, look, Molly makes you feel good. Illegal as it wants to be, it makes you feel good. So in the end, you picked Molly.
Mary,
stick with your gut instinct. It was, in fact, cocaine.
You know your cocaine,
like
Mary.
You knew,
very good.
Just like you knew
very,
it was.
Very, very good. Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Tim.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box,
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah! Oh, look who it is, Mike Hawk in the house.
At this point, can we just change the intro? I've
sure,
been doing this for 2 weeks.
Do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Got it. All righty. So, still stuck at home, but still working diligently to bring us the very best in television entertainment. Our boy Ted texted me earlier today with his new pick. Miles, I think you're going to like this one. Well, curb your enthusiasm,
yeah.
Action.
I am on episode number 6 of this year, I think.
Of the new season. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, his email says, so I watched... you know what? Forget it. I'm going to read this word for word exactly as,
you're read
says
it as he sent
I'm
it.
I'm going to read this as he sent
okay.
it. I'm going to let you guys try to figure out what he says here. So I watched So Curb Your Enthusiasm, and hold here for a hot take. I don't find it that funny as it used to be. And trust, you will be hard-pressed to find a bigger Larry David fan than I.
That's a fact.
That's true.
The biggest Seinfeld fans we know.
Mm-hmm. So he says this one kind of... kind of lacks a little bit what it used to. How are you feeling on that one, Miles?
I think it's Larry David being Larry David. I'm actually enjoying the season. It's just him being put in more uncomfortable situations based on his own actions.
Okay, I like it. However, Ted did not stop there. Of course, Curb Your Enthusiasm is more of a familiar show for him, so he actually did have another show, and it sounds a little bit like this.
Henry Heinz was the first to use clear bottles to show his product's quality.
This is the future.
Milton Hershey supplied every U.S. soldier with chocolate in World War II.
It was so important to winning the war.
Ray Kroc turned one restaurant into an empire the size of a small country's economy.
You never know where that moment of inspiration is going to strike.
The impact was enormous.
The Food That Built America, a mini-series of on history.
So Ted has moved over to history, and I'm going to continue with his email here. He says, now I watched a documentary series on history called The Food That Built America. It starts with the Kellogg family, and they basically invited cereal, but they also...
they invented it, so
yes.
Or invited, we don't know. We will never know.
But they also hired a guy whose last name is Post, and he stole the recipe for cereal, and Battle Creek, Michigan became a battleground for cereals, and thus so many are still made there. Meanwhile, up in Gloucester, Massachusetts, I'm guessing, a guy whose last name was Bedise?
All right.
Okay. Starred making frozen foods, which later the wisdom of Post bought.
Bird's eye. The guy, how did he spell it? Bedise. Okay, listen, bird's eye, just so you know, I only know this from researching Big Dummy, but the guy, I don't know if he had been to fast food, but the way they package it for us to consume, his last name was Bird's Eye.
So okay. It's not. Gotcha.
Okay, so I'm assuming that is Bird's Eye, not Bedise.
Okay, so going back to there, his name was Bird's Eye. He started making frozen foods, which later the wisdom of Post bought. Oh, yeah, she also opt Mar-a-Lago in Florida, which ended up being bought by the government and sold to Donald Trump.
Donald, yes.
Wow. So Bird's Eye took it all the way to Mar-a-Lago.
He did. Food is just for eating. Wrong. It has a wild and seedy history that shaped our country. Now I'm off to eat, but it's a great series, The Food That Built America.
Okay.
The Food That Built America.
But dies.
Built, right?
Yes, it is built.
Okay.
And it is on the History Channel. It sounds fascinating. I mean,
it does.
All the funny aside, it sounds really good.
Yeah, it does.
I need to watch more History Channel.
It depends what's on. It all go there. There's tons of Nazi stuff. They love talking about World War II for sure. Every once in a while, they step outside of that, do things. I will say this. It's one of these stupid things where you get your mind blown, and then you're like, it's obvious. So years ago working in restaurants, and one of the chefs, she'd been working on a cookbook, or more like the history of food, probably the same kind of thing. I'm like, well, what would be interesting? And she just said, look, before Marco Polo went to China, Italians weren't using a whole lot of pasta. So what was Italian food? Because if you say Italian
rice,
food,
rice probably?
Everyone pictures pasta, right? Almost any, you can say pizza, otherwise some kind of pasta like this. She's like, right, before Marco Polo went, what were they eating? I'm like, now I don't know. And that was it. She never told me, so I have no idea.
One of the History Channel that I used to, my old man actually would have on every day when I came home from school was Modern Marvels. You guys ever seen that show?
Yeah, every once in a while.
It's fantastic.
Sure.
A lot of fun little tidbits that just things that you, it's one of those that you never think about, that where it came from, how it happened, you know, a lot like How It's Made, that show on the Science Channel.
My only problem with How It's Made, right, because it doesn't matter what they talk about. It can be Tootsie Rolls.
Right.
It can be paper clips. For whatever reason, since they take you by the step-by-step process, there's a bit of interest there. And you're like,
sure.
All right. The guy that voices it, man, I don't know what it is. You know, like the footage you're showing, all right, you're telling us how you make paper clips. So I feel like you're already going out on a limb because you're saying, here's this dull thing. But based on the nature of the show, sure, I can invest 10 minutes into you explaining how it's done. But the guy comes on almost like he's challenging you to sit through this. And then the paper clips are taken. It's like, oh my God, at least make it sound interesting.
It's cool watching the manufacturing lines, though.
Sure.
And how they do things. Like, what? Yeah. I got caught on something like Keebler or whatever. And they're making fudge stripes. So they blast.
Did you see the actual elves?
They blast. That was another thing. I didn't realize that they don't work there.
What?
Yeah, it's an assembly line.
Spoiler alert, Miles.
But they shoot the chocolate up from the bottom that coats the bottom of the
right.
fudge stripe.
Yeah.
And then there's like these five strips that come down and paint the top.
Yes.
And you watch the machine and it's just like mesmerizing.
It is.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, wow, fudge stripe.
Thrill, who would you have voice that thing then? If you don't want any kind of just a regular reader, a guy kind of reading frontline over there, who would you have telling you exactly how they make fudge-striped cookies?
Somebody serious.
It depends. I mean, like, Morgan Freeman has a certain voice, but his voice, to me, doesn't work for that because it's not that fascinating.
Blasts up.
I would say, if you always want people to listen, just get James Earl Jones, right?
Sure.
It doesn't matter what the man says. There's so much gravity to his voice, but it is the idea that you're seeing how things are made that we just take for granted, right?
That's but I think it also has to do with the product. You know what I'm saying? Like, the product is just as important to the voiceover.
If it was the paper clips, which, again, in and among themselves,
then maybe the guy that you were mentioning isn't the wrong guy for that job.
No, I think someone like Samuel L. Jackson, because then you feel compelled to pay. You're going to see how paper clips are made, mother. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just going to clip your paper without giving any kind of tribute to the process that is made so that your sheets don't fall apart. Watch that TV, mother.
So more updates come in the realm of sports. It is finally official. The Summer Olympics have been postponed until 2021. No new dates have been announced, but officials say that it'll be, quote, beyond 2020, but not later than summer of 2021. They also say it'll still be referred to as the 2020 Olympics.
It is. It's just a year late.
Exactly.
You know, the Olympics have been ruined by the way the coverage is done now to me.
How's that?
Well, just based on the fact that Olympic events used to be run in real time. So no matter where they were and what was happening, you basically saw the Olympics when the Olympics were on, and they were on all the time.
And it didn't matter the time difference.
It didn't matter the time of the day. But now, like, I already know that blank won the downhill. But they will build this up at the 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, NBC.
Gotcha.
Like, everything that everyone has read, it's already
there. And
they
tell you.
Yeah.
Coming up, you're going to see the historic run.
By Bodie Miller, who won the gold medal. It's like,
damn it.
I haven't seen it yet. Like, but everybody already knows, and now I'm watching a replay, and like anything else, spoiler alert. Like,
right.
Well, wait a minute. You're watching because this sports vacuum we're in. You were watching, golf over the weekend of events that have already happened.
Right.
You should be the one person who's like, hey, I found a way to tolerate the fact I know what's going to happen, but I'm willing to watch it.
But I don't know what's going to happen in these replays that I've never seen. The Olympics, you know, because it's in the news and they tell you during the teases.
By the way, some people are chiming in on who should narrate. Somebody says, yes, Samuel L. Jackson. Someone else says Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe.
Ooh.
But Mike Rowe does have a lot of voiceover work now. Mike Rowe, I want to say, like, how the universe works. A lot of those sci-fi channel ones, you don't think about it, but that is Mike Rowe telling you, this is all black hole forms. But someone else, this is great. Christopher Walken.
Oh, God.
Now, the paper clips, they don't start in the final form to begin. Look at that.
Look at that
little bit of metal being the way that it turns into the shape of a paperclip.
What's the British
guy? It's a paperclip.
Who does all the
major
shows. Yeah, he would be a good guy to do it, because everything sounds very official. It's either him or Peter Coyote.
You know, one of those
Peter Coyote.
That is the guy. He used to be an actor, but he has a great, voice for voiceovers.
Probably 60% of the stuff you watch with narration is Peter. Anything with Ken Burns is Peter Coyote.
Right.
Gotcha.
He's the guy. Ridiculous name. Great voice.
Back to the Olympics.
It was originally Coyote Peter, by the way.
He was Bones in E.T.
Nah, still be on. I haven't seen E.T. since I was in.
That was a current. That was a real current reference.
Yeah,
you remember E.T.
E.T.
was the last movie he was in.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
this guy's
famous, man. Come on, had a bit part in E.T.
Right, someone suggesting Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
Paper clip. He blasts the chocolate up underneath.
That guy's amazing.
And then five stripes. I lay down on the top of the cookie.
He was in here one time from shoulder blade is like 8 inches.
He is a tiny,
small human, little guy.
I just remember he walked in and there was a listener. So Gilbert Gottfried, he's in the studio for an interview. Great guy to talk to, by the way. But a listener was here. And the listener sees Gilbert Gottfried. All the listener says, and I don't remember the name of the parrot from, the Aladdin movie. All right. So. This is like 2012 or whatever.
Right.
And this guy sees Gilbert Gottfried, and, you know, he has like a fanboy moment, but he's like, oh, my God, man, I loved you as whoever the parrot was.
The parrot in this.
Iago, yeah.
So Gilbert Gottfried, trying to be nice, looks at it. I remember he's looking at his cell phone, and he looks at this guy for a second, and just kind of goes, all right. And just kind of walked away, man.
Come on,
all right.
Back to the Olympics. Supposedly, there was some discussion about just pushing it back to this fall. However, NBC's contract with the Olympics might have prevented that, since it would then conflict with the NFL season.
Hmm. So a lot of things are going to conflict with a lot of things.
That's because everything by the way, sorry, people are still suggesting voice. Lordy. Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, but he's another one that just voices everything.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He's got a great voice.
He wouldn't help not putting you to sleep, though. I read him, he's trying to help bring everybody's spirits up. He posted up on Twitter of him reading a lovely sonnet, and I almost fell asleep.
Really?
Yes. The guy who likes classy stuff like that almost fell asleep to it.
Okay. I figured you'd be a fan.
He's got a wonderful voice, don't get me wrong. However, he's not going to do any favors for not putting people to sleep, showing things how they're made.
More suggestions, Snoop Dogg, which if you've seen him do his little nature that's voiceovers,
fantastic.
That's some of the best stuff I've ever heard. Someone else says Captain Crunch. Yes.
Like I said, depends on the product.
Fudge Drive Cookies. I made him a little different.
Homemade fudge.
Mine aren't made in a factory.
Moving on to some little fun facts here. Any idea why Sir Paul McCartney would continue to call the Simpsons writers?
Because he wants to be on the show.
He already was on the show.
I know, but he wants to be again. I don't know.
Actually, it's because he was on the show. So here's the thing. The writers of The Simpsons say that Paul McCartney always checks, quote, that Lisa is still a vegetarian.
Oh, my God.
After it became a key condition of his guest appearance on the show.
He knows it's a cartoon, right? Like, it's not real.
In a new interview with the Radio Times, show consultant David, who is also a vegetarian, said that he was, quote, happy to comply with McCartney's request. But he admitted that every time he bumps into McCartney, he always checks. And he's always surrounded by 9 or 10 lawyers, so it's quite frightening. So they're saying that basically Lisa is a good character as far as on a family show to kind of bring forth, what did they say here? Lisa is a really effective way of getting a sophisticated and adult message across.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
I agree with that.
Brother, she's eating cartoon vegetables. I just feel like in a world where you have the opportunity that Sir Paul McCartney, like, dude, I got him on speed dial. He calls me once a week. Why does he call you? Honestly, even though it's Paul McCartney, I wish he'd stop calling because it's really freaking annoying. In fact, I'm going to tell him, new phone, who dis? Because I know it's Paul McCartney, but he only calls me to make sure that a cartoon character eat your cartoon vegetables.
But are a lot of people taking their morals from a cartoon kid on a show where she's not even close to the star?
Paul McCartney's kids are, yes.
Well, not only that, but that cartoon is not geared toward children. That's an adult cartoon. So if anything,
even if it was
affecting adults making adult decisions.
They're not children anymore.
Right. But when I ask
that
you to name me,
older than you, Mike, right?
It might be.
I think it is.
I was born in 90. Did it start in 89?
I think it started 88 or 89.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I mean. Like,
but again, I ask you, name me the top 10 characters on The Simpsons. Does Lisa even come in the top 7?
Yes, she does.
Does she really?
I have the top 10 back there for your guesses as good as mine.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll whip it out someday.
I just gave away one of those answers.
Well, of course she's in the top 10.
She's one of the main characters.
Yeah,
she has to be.
Like, whoa, Bart's in here.
Hey, shocking.
Whoa, Homer too. Whoa, Marge, I'm 5 deep already.
Moving on. Let's talk about Oprah. So Oprah Oprah says Stedman was, quote, late to the party in understanding just how severe the coronavirus pandemic is. So he was on away on business until last Thursday. And when he got home, she had this to say.
Stedman is at the guest house because Stedman did not arrive from Chicago until Thursday. So Stedman's like, what's the procedure for coming home? The procedure is you ain't coming and sleeping in my bed. Literally, Ariana, he goes, I'm not. I go, oh, no. It doesn't work that way. Have you not been paying attention to the news? Social distancing doesn't mean you're going to go sleep in the bed with the person when you have just got off American Airlines. We cannot play those games. So we're taking it very seriously. You know, my friends say, oh, isn't Stedman upset? Oh, no, he's not. He really is.
He's not.
He's happy to make
he
me
is
safe.
Not upset.
He is not.
Listen, I was in Hawaii years ago, did one of these helicopter tour things. And they flip volcanoes, there's the ocean, all this stuff. But at one point, the pilot points out, he goes, hey, man, that landing strip over there is Oprah's property, like that, because she flies her guests in and out, because she rolls that way.
Sure.
And he's pointing out her compound, right? Listen, the guest house that Stedman is staying in, you would have no problem.
I remember looking
down at her compound. There was, nothing was small. You could tell the place she lived because it was enormous, but all the little quote-unquote houses around it are bigger than any place I've ever lived in my life.
But Oprah's, I mean, the message is correct. She's dead on. Look, if you have somebody that's coming in from out of town or whatever, and wherever they're flying in from, make them stay in your guest house for at least 4 or 5 days before you invite them into your regular mansion-type home. And that way, you know, you have a decent buffer just to know. So as long as you have your guest house well-stocked with food and perishables and things like that, you probably will be okay.
And I think she makes ordinary people.
I think she makes a good point.
I think we can all learn, between her and Arnold, like, look, if you have a loved one, like you said, man, they were away on business, before they can join you in the pool to smoke your Cuban cigars, make them stay in your guest
house. Quarantine them in the guest house.
I think we can all relate to that.
I can. It is wonderful that you guys are actually bringing this up. Oh, never mind. We're bringing the music in. I can't play that clip just yet. However, I will say this. Now that Oprah has said that, there's a lot of men that are about to get kicked out into their own guest house.
And they're so happy.
They
are so happy.
They do everything that Oprah tells them to do.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A Rwanda man who defied a nationwide lockdown to go fishing is then eaten alive by a crocodile. Meanwhile, a New Jersey man coughs on a Wegman employee's face and says he has coronavirus. What is mine? A Missouri man named Cody Pfister busted licking deodorant in Walmart aisle for fun. Frito-Lay plant shuts down in Modesto, so your days of Cheeto dust may be done. And a dog is so excited that his owner is home and staying at home, he breaks his tail wagging it. It is time for your headline.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my cock.
All right, top story, we go to Rwanda, where a man paid the price for defying the nationwide lockdown. The country has been on a stay-at-home lockdown for a week and will continue to be locked down for 14 days. However, wanting to breathe the fresh air, one man broke the lockdown order and went outside to go fishing, where he was quickly killed and eaten by a crocodile.
Hmm. You want to die in Rwanda?
Crocodile been waiting for a while, man. Haven't been a lot of people out.
Hey, good to see you.
Thank God.
Ooh, tasty.
Finally, another fisherman.
The locals aren't here yet.
Wash them down with the corona.
In other news, the coronavirus is continuing to change our society, but this is one of those changes that seems unnecessary. We've all either seen or heard stories about people that find questionable items in their food, fingernails, band-aids, screws, but one person in Shanghai got an unpleasant surprise when he was eating his soup that he had gotten from the local restaurant to find a surgical mask floating in it. He was about halfway through the soup before he finally found the mask.
Someone was wearing it, I guess. That's a good
thing. How do you not notice your mask fell off your face?
So, I did have the picture up here in a second, but it got taken down. He got noodles, and so the strap kind of blended in. And when it kind of just looked like a big piece of cabbage that was in there. Okay. So, like, I can actually understand how this one got lost. However, oops, I dropped my mask that's on my face.
That's what I mean. How does the cook or the server not notice that the mask is no longer under
place? Even the Band-Aid that falls off, I can hardly understand. I'm not going to give the mask a pass, man. You put that thing in there, doggone it. Anyway, he was given a full refund. Over in the UK, a pet owner had to take their dog to the vet because of the coronavirus. Not because he was sick, but because he was so happy that his owner was stuck at home during the quarantine that he actually wagged his tail so hard and so much that he sprained it. Little Dachshund is currently on pain relievers and should be back to normal in about a week.
He did it for the drugs.
Yeah.
Pain relievers, man.
Mama posted a video after he was high on drugs, and you just see that tail just down, and you can see like it wants to wag, but it doesn't actually go
anywhere. Can't do it.
It just looks like a limp noodle on the back of that dog.
Yeah, my dog, I'm beginning to think my dog has a problem. Like, you cannot possibly be this excited to see anyone.
Right?
I mean, every day. I'm home at the same time every day. What the hell did you expect? I go and get the mail. I've been gone for 45 seconds, man. And I feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Like, geez, dude, I walked down the street, man. Like, you cannot be. You were just laying on me on the sofa. I went and got the mail. What has happened?
Maybe he's just happy that you didn't leave for the day.
I guess.
Can we do our hellos after I get back, like, inside the house and not just at the doorway where it's freezing ass cold outside?
Is anyone happy to see you when you come home? The cats, the dog. Do you have two cats now?
As long as I have the lady with me. No, I have two cats and a dog.
None of the animals happy to see you?
Not really, no.
Really? Yeah. Not even the dog? I mean, dogs are happy to see you by default,
He's
man.
Becoming a bit of an ass, man. He'll get home from time to time, and he'll just kind of look up from the bed like,
oh, he's that kind of dog.
Right, we're good. Mm-hmm. He didn't used to be. He used to come running and growling and barking like he was ready to protect the house, but now he's kind of gotten used to the fact that maybe we're fine.
My dog, apparently, it is, if I can put it through the English translator, like, oh, my God, I cannot believe you're home. I've never been that excited to see anyone in my life. Let me get my rope. Hang on.
We'll say
I'm back. I need you to pull this rope out of my mouth for the next 45 minutes.
If I take the dog out for a walk, the cat, the new cat, which has basically become his little brother, will sit there at the doorway and wait. And then as soon as I open the door, he sticks his head out. He will not leave the apartment, but he just really wants to see what's out in that hallway. Dumbass. Moving over. Over in Atlanta, a 75-year-old man scared the ever-living out of a woman and her granddaughter. The man was at the post office when the pair came in wearing surgical masks. He confronted the two women, pointing a gun at them and ordering them to stay back. He then apologized and told them to make sure that they don't touch the door handle of the office before he fled, and he was later found and arrested. Here's my theory. This guy is 75 years old. He hears all the news about this coronavirus, how contagious it is, how it's killing people that are in his age bracket. This guy is absolutely terrified.
Sure.
Why he's out in public with a gun tells me that he had no other choice. He had to get to that post office.
Right.
Doesn't make anything that he did here okay.
But we understand. It's like the naked guy that does something stupid. It doesn't make it okay, but you're the naked guy, so our expectations are that you're going to do something
exactly.
stupid.
Exactly. If you're going to do something stupid, get naked doing it so it at least doesn't seem that bad.
That is a public service announcement from your local police department. If you're going to commit a crime, please be naked.
Do it naked.
Because there's nothing we love more than tackling a sweaty naked man who's doing something dumb.
Down in California, officials are reiterating once again that people need to be cognizant of what they are flushing down their toilets. As many places are suffering shortages of toilet paper in stock, a lot of people have been turning to alternatives to cleaning themselves after using the bathroom. And they're beginning to have terrible impacts on the sewer systems. They found the new fad seems to be people flushing shredded pieces of T-shirt.
Damn.
They're asking that people that are resorting to other cleaning methods than toilet paper just stick to, quote, bag it, don't flush it.
I mean, look, we get everyone's going to wipe their ass, but yeah, you don't flush a T-shirt down the toilet.
Once again, there is two things that are allowed to go down that toilet. What comes out of you and toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. Not even those little flushable wipes. You know, I think we got one text that said, no, it works on new plumbing. Let's just go ahead and just not do it at all.
Again,
just play it safe.
Again, flushable doesn't mean anything.
It can
I
go
know
down.
For a fact.
You can flush a lot of things
Barbie
down there,
dolls
but it might cause
are
a lot
flushable.
Of problems.
Barbie dolls are flushable. If you think it's a good idea, knock yourself out. But remember, Tide Pods are edible and you can drink bleach. Don't do any of it.
That's right. That is it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the return of Big Dummy, and the head chef is back with Ted's Meat and Potatoes.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, we be all up out this bag. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.